Bye.
Such a schos for Hashem to be together on this last Erev Shabbos of Tavshin Pei Dalet. Last Erev Shabbos of this year. And what an incredible way, Baruch Hashem, to be able to spend it and to be able to learn the Torah of the Piyajatzna We thank our following sponsors for tonight's year. We thank Mary Noah Solomon in honor of Yoas Hanochas Tfillin this week. Mazel tov. Mazel tov. Mazel tov. We welcome the Bar Mitzvah Bacher. Even if he asks you for a lechayim, do not give it to him. Right? Mazel tov y'all. Amir Tz Hashem, you should be zocha. To enter into Gil Mitzvos, you should be zocha. Amir Tz Hashem, to shoulder the incredible responsibility of being a Ben Yisrael, a Bar Mitzvah. You should be a source of nachas for your parents, your mishpacha, for the Ribon Shem Klal Yisrael. Amir Esam Sharim Tatos. Mazel tov. Mazel tov. Thank. We thank Elio Ramenfar for dedicating, Shkraya, for dedicating the shir for the well-being of all the soldiers of the IDF, the safe return of all the hostages, for peace and prosperity for all the Jews in the new year, and the coming of Mashiach Mihira B'Yameinu. Amen. Amen. And the shir tonight is also sponsored by my wife and I, in honor of all the members of the shir, all of you. Baruch Hashem, it's incredible. You know, we started, if you remember, we started this chabura. I believe it was supposed to be a five-part series a couple of years ago. Right, we were doing B'nai Machshava Tova. It's a small little booklet. We figured, you know what, B'nai Machshava Tova, you can get through that relatively quickly, no problem. And Baruch Hashem, what started as a five-part series has mamish really blossomed into a chabura, into a chevra. And the truth is, into a little bit, you know, I almost feel like there is a branch of Piagetna Chasidus right here in Baltimore. Baruch Hashem. Now, the Chasidim might be only the people in this room. Okay, it's a small Chasidus. But you know, the greatness of a Rebbe and the greatness of his Chasidus is never about the number of followers. It's about the impact that the teachings of the Rebbe has on his followers. And those of us who are Chasidim of the Piagetna, Mamashvil Piagetna Chasidim, are really able to see that the words of the Rebbe, they change us. They just change us. We emerge just different people. We emerge changed from this experience. We emerged inspired. We emerged different. We emerged ready to just take something on. And it's incredible to think, you know, it's overwhelming to see how quickly time goes by and that there's another year, mamish, like another year that's coming to an end, and how much we have to express our hakaras hatov to our Rebbe, to the Piagetna, for how much he changed our lives over the course of this year. Sometimes we learn, it's important to understand, people think that how can you measure if your learning impacted you? It's by what you remember. But the truth is, as we get older, we recognize that actually retention has nothing to do with how Torah impacts me. Retention is important because it's important to retain what you learn. But Torah has an impact on you whether you remember it or not. That doesn't make a difference. A person learns Torah, it changes who they are. That's why, you know, Rabbi Nachman, this might sound like a shtickle offensive to some, but Rabbi Nachman says, the Rabbi says, he's talking about the Gemara or Halacha, if you get to a Gemara that you don't understand, so the Rabbi says, what do you do? Rabbi Nachman says, what do? You move on. Now, to anyone who grew up in the yeshiva system, that sounds like apikarsus. You know, you don't understand the Gemara, what do? Like, you break your head on it. You know, you try. Of course, Rebbe's not discounting that. He's not saying, of course you try. You try to figure out what it is. But what if you come to a point where I try and I can't figure it out? So the Rebbe says, move forward. He says, move forward. You'll chap it the next time you finish us. Right? The next time you get around to it, you'll chap it. But I think what Rabbi Nachman was really saying was that people think that the impact of Torah is based on the ability to comprehend. But it's not true. A yid opens up a Gemara and you read lines and you have no idea what the lines mean. That's not the ideal way to learn, obviously. We want to understand what we're learning. But you read the lines, even if you can't understand one word, at the end of the day, that Torah has had an impact on who and what you are. The mere reading of the words, the mere ingesting, intellectual and just spiritual ingestion of the words, it changes us. Every week we come and learn the Rebbe's Torah, and it just fundamentally changes who and what we are. Some weeks we understand a little bit better. Some weeks we don't. Last week was a more complicated piece to really internalize and comprehend. Every week is something different, but the result is always the same. The result is I come into the Chabura, I come in to spend a couple of minutes with my Rebbe, with the Piagetna, and I emerge someone different. Can you always measure the difference? Can you always see the difference? Maybe not. But the difference is absolutely there. Every time I sit down with the Rebbe, I just emerge from that experience. I emerge with that yichidus in a different kind of way. So with that, tonight we're going to do something a little bit different. We're not going to do from Tzav Zeres tonight. Instead, tonight we're going to do a piece from the Rebbe on Rosh Hashanah. on Rosh Hashanah. I think I made enough copies. So this is actually from the Sefer Ish Kodesh. Enough going around. Good. Cover some more down that way. Good. If we don't have enough, then maybe some of the chaver will share. Emir Tzashem. Okay. So I will say. So we're doing two pieces. We're doing two pieces in Emir Tzashem this evening. One piece, actually, they're both from Ish Kodesh. I've spoken about Ish Kodesh many times before. The Sefer Ish Kodesh, it's a staple copy.
Rabbi, what is this? Can I have one?
Oh yes, I'm sorry. We were zocha Baruch Hashem to make a pidyon haben for our grandson this week. So as you know, the minhag the svarim bring down that when you the greatest schus is participating in the seud of a pidyon haben. The svarim say that when you eat of the Suda Pinyon Ben, it's as if you fasted 84 fast days. So the minhag is that you make little bags of garlic and sugar, and you hand them out to everyone there, and a person who takes it, the minhag is actually to put in your chalent. This is very apropos, but it could be in anything specifically you cook for Shabbos, and in doing so, it's as if you participated in the mitzvah of Pinyon Ben. So I brought them some bark, and there's some left, so I don't want to get into a grabby match over here. I think that there's enough, but my wife actually brought it here for the shir tonight. This is the leftovers from the pinyon haben. So Emir Tzashem is just bizocha to participate in the Sudas Mitzvah. Emir Tzashem and Halavai should bring bracha and shefa and mazel and hatzlacha to your mishpachas. All right, so we'll say, so let's begin. So we're going to go ahead and do a piece from Rosh Hashanah, and then Emir Tzashem will go after that. Yeah, you can feel free. You can hand it out. You know, I'm sorry. Next week I'm going to throw apples. You know, next week I'm gonna every week. There's different giveaways every week now. It's a new way to increase sheer attendance. You never know what we're going to be giving away. All right. So. It's true.
Have this
tea. Okay, you can use it for whatever you want. Baruch Hashem, tea, challenge, whatever works. All right. So let's begin. So the first piece, and for this week, I labeled and numbered the pages and also numbered the paragraphs. So you could see, Emir Tzashem, everything that we're doing. And I will say, for some reason, it's not enough. What you could also do is, you could split it up. Somebody could take the garlic, somebody could take the sugar. I think this should be enough. But okay. So we'll say, so let's begin. So we'll say this over here. We'll see. I got a little ambitious. I thought we're going to get through both pieces. But we'll see. But Chevra, here's what I want to say. Let's give this mamish... Let's give this our full attention, because this is literally, we are preparing now with the Rebbe for Rosh Hashanah. So just to orient you a little bit, this piece is from Rosh Hashanah, the year Tavshin Aleph, 1941. So remember again, Ish Kodesh, our drushas that were given by the Piagetzin in the Warsaw Ghetto. Every Shabbos that he was able to, the Rebbe would give a drusha. Then after Shabbos, someone will record the drush, a little bit of a historical debate. The Piagetzin himself recorded the drusha, did one of his gaboim. The point is, they recorded the drushas as it was clear that the ghetto was going to be liquidated. The inhabitants were being shipped off to the various concentration camps. They took the manuscripts, they buried it in a milk crate, in a metal milk crate. And the Piagetzin was murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shem V'Zichrom. And after the war, some Polish peasant who was just like looking around the ghetto to see if he could find some valuables came across this metal milk container. It had some Hebrew writing on the inside, and he handed it over to the local committee of the joint distribution committee. And they saw that it was manuscripts. The Piagetzin had included instructions that if this is found, send to my uncle in Eretz Yisrael. The Piagetzin had an uncle who escaped Eretz Yisrael before the war. The manuscript made its way to Eretz Yisrael, and they realized that they found this incredible treasure trove. That the Piagetzin's drushas between 1939 and 1942, all recorded, not every single Shabbos, because certain Shabbosos they weren't able to, remember these were clandestine minyanim, so certain Shabbosos they were unable to convene the clandestine minyanim, but also what's fascinating about this is they've been able to reconstruct a lot of the history of the Warsaw Ghetto based on these drushas. The Rebbe makes reference to certain events that occurred, and because remember, again, we know the date of every single drasha, because we know the parasha and we know the year. So once you know the parasha, you know the year, you know the exact date that the drasha was given. And sometimes the Rebbe will make references to certain things, veiled references, to certain things that happened in the ghetto over this past week. And it's incredible that it's served not only as a source of inspiration, but an incredible you know, piece of history as well. So we'll say, so every to understand that, like, I really feel the truth is that before a person even learns a piece from the Ish Kodesh, the truth is one should really go to the mikvah. That's how holy this Torah is. This is a different kind of Torah. It's Torah that comes from the depths of Gehenna. It's Torah that comes literally from the darkest places in the world. And I think also the reason why I wanted to do this tonight and not Tzavazeres is also, you know, one of the most overwhelming things that we have to think about is that we still have our brothers and sisters, still over 100 of our precious brothers and sisters, men, women, and children, who are being held in the darkest places in the world. It used to be when you spoke about Gideon in the darkest places in the world, that was a historical statement. That was retrospective. And it's overwhelming to think that today it's contemporarily relevant. That there are precious men, women, and children from 1 year old and up, 1 year old and up, who are literally living in the darkest, in Gehenna, in the darkest places in the world. So what do you need? What do you need in a world in which Amcha is living in the darkest places? I need the Torah from the darkest places. Because the amazing part is, if I get the Torah from the darkest places is the only thing that could infuse light into that darkness. Other Torah is beautiful and wonderful, but only Torah that emanates from the darkness could really illuminate the darkness. So now we're going into the Warsaw Ghetto. We're going into the Piazetsna's clandestine shul. It's Rosh Hashanah 1941. And here is the drasha that the Rebbe gave. So we'll say, this is what you'll see. He says, Kol Shamata, Atalim Aznechal Rav Chasi Ulshavasi. So we'll say, if you remember again, before Tkiah Shofar, there's a paragraph that we recite that is a compilation of phrases taken from different places. Have we have enough chairs? Ali, there's also here. Ali, there's also. Oh, I was going to invite you to the front of the classroom. But, all right, good. Yeah. All right, next to the Gabbai, good. So I'll say, so listen to this. So before we do Tkiah Shofar, there's a series of phrases that form into a beautiful, harmonious paragraph. So one of those phrases we say is, Koli Shamata, Hashem, you have heard my voice. Al Talim Aznecha L'Rav Chasi L'Shavasi. So literally translated, Koli Shamata, Hashem, you've heard my voice. Do not deafen your ear, L'Rav Chasi, to my cries or to my supplications, and to my cries. I'm asking, Ribono Shel Olam, listen to me. Don't shut me out. Don't ignore me. Koli Shamata, you hear my voice, do not close off your ears. So the Rebbe says, amazing, paragraph A. This is page one, paragraph A. V'yuvan b'mashal she'isa b'sefer HaKodesh Imre Elimelech miben HaMelech. So he quotes over here, a mashal from his grandfather. His grandfather, the Imre Elimelech. And the Imre Elimelech gave a mashal about the king, the son of a king. They will say, so many of the mashalim of Yamim Noram are all about the king, the son of the king. So look at what he writes. K'fi matzaveinu, kishesar ben HaMelech midarko, v'hischil l'chaba u'lahashchis kam ba'amar HaMelech. There was a story of a king, and the king had a son. And this son, he lost his way in such a dramatic way that not only did he not act in monarchical fashion. Oh, but I'm so I forgot to thank Reb Tzvi for the beautiful, beautiful spread. I see even we're introducing healthy options. Wow.
Is that the
schnitzel did not remain in the deep fryer for as long as... No, it's like there's salad. Is there salad? The salad, mamish, okay. Somebody's wife clearly complained, right? So the Rebbe says as follows. He quotes over here the mashal. And he says, yes, there was a king who had a son. And the son ultimately, again, just veered off the derech. The son lost his way. But this son didn't just lose his way. It's not just the pshat that like he wasn't acting in a royal fashion. He just began to engage in all types of destructive behavior. He would destroy things. He would hit people. He would get violent. He would act irrational. So what happened? To the point that the son even began to act responsibly in a way that hurt his father's political aspirations as well. The son would, whatever we could imagine, bursting into important meetings, making a scene, ruining the palace, assaulting people, doing just crazy, crazy stuff, inappropriate, crazy stuff. So what happens? So the king punished him once, punished him twice. Hein b'chol pam shan shul hiftiach shalo yoshev l'masav haron. And every single time the prince was punished, what happened? He swore, I'm not going to do it again. I swear I'm not going to do it again. I swear I'm not going to behave this way again. We'll say, by the way, there are extra, if anyone needs, there are still extra sheets over here, if anyone wants. He promised, I'm not going to do it again. What happened? Same story. Every single time they stopped punishing the prince, what did he do? He reverted back to his negative behaviors. This was a story, the ongoing story of the prince. So what happened? Paragraph B. Vayikachu sari hamelech benasnu b'masar. Finally was enough. The king, you know, is the king's son. So there's only so much that a king is going to do to his son. But finally, the ministers had enough. Right? The ministers couldn't deal with it anymore. So what did they do? They put the prince in jail. Kedei shelo ya'asa kol kach hazekos. In order that the prince should not damage. So they locked him away, that he just, they had to remove him. They had no choice. And ultimately, they would physically punish the prince. They would afflict him. They would literally flog him. They would flog him. They would hit him in the jail. And what happened? The prince would cry out. He would cry out in a dramatic way. One day the king heard his son crying. So what did the king do? The king ran. He had to save his son. Paragraph C. The chayvan. So the problem is now, the king kind of circumvented the justice system, right? The ministers had locked up the prince. They actually physically assaulted him because he became a danger. He was a danger to himself. He was a danger to other people. He was even a danger to the political interests of the kingdom. So they had to lock him up, and they even had to beat him up a little bit. So they said to the king, King, what are you doing? A monarchy, right? A society needs rules. And no one could be above the law. And the rules have to remain intact. And even the king has to obey the rules. L'chein shalu sarav, lama hitzilu, king. We appropriately imprisoned your son. And now you're coming, kind of using, you know, the power of office. And you're taking him out. What's going on over here? V'alo kvar ehtiach kama pamim, sheyosur midarko harav alokayim. How many times has the prince promised that he's not going to go out and do anything bad again, right? Every single time he gets himself into trouble, we punish him. He doesn't like the punishment, and so he swears he's never going to do it again. And this keeps on happening over and over and over. The prince is not trustworthy. You can't take him at his word. They said, King, I know we know what you're going to say. What is the king going to say? But look, my son is not causing any trouble anymore. Look, Baruch Hashem, he's reformed. He's become a Baal Tshuva. So the ministers say, King, do you know why your son is not causing trouble anymore? Do you know why? Because he's been locked up, and because we've been beating him up every day. We've been literally beating him into submission. That's why he hasn't been causing trouble. It's not the pshat that he's a Baal Tshuva. It's not the pshat that he's changed himself. It's not the pshat that anything has reformed internally. He's the same troublemaking person. And if you don't come down on him hard, he's just going to keep on reverting back to his bad ways. Because this is what happens every single time. He gets the patch and says, I'm so sorry, never again. Then he does it again. Gets the patch, so sorry, never again, and then does it again. So the ministers are upset with the king. What are you doing? You know how this story ends. Paragraph D. They both say, this is incredible. Paragraph D. The king said, Hein batuach ani shemeata achar yisurav hamorim kivar yisnag b'derech hatova. So ultimately, again, he says as follows. He says, king says, I happen to believe in my son. Hein batuach ani. I happen to really believe shemeata achar yisur hamorim that now that my son has suffered more than he ever suffered before. See, this last punishment, this was a doozy. Right beforehand, what would they do? I don't know. They'd give him a patch. They'd give him a zetz. They'd give him a little flogging or something, and then he'd go on his way. Right? This time, he was incarcerated. This time, he was beaten every single day. So the king says, you know, I think my son has suffered a lot. And I believe with my heart that he's reformed. I believe with my heart that he is different and that he is not going to revert back to his evil ways and he is a different person going forward. Aval afilu, listen to this. Aval afilu. Kimo sha'omrim atem. Shazivasu eschata'av lo shalahu. But maybe you're right. The king says, ministers, maybe you're right. And maybe my son is just so broken to the core that he's going to keep on doing the same bad stuff again. Maybe you're right. So you hear this dialogue. The king says, I happen to believe that my son is a changed man. I happen to believe that my son is different. I happen to believe that this last chapter of his life has fundamentally changed him into someone and something different. But even if I'm wrong, and you're right, and as soon as the bruises right heal, and as soon as everything is fine, he's going to go right back to his own ways. Aval kolo. But I heard his voice. Kol yisura mimakoseichem batach shalohu. Umei hamu alov. And so the king says, but what should I do about his screams? What should I do about his crying out to me? What should I do that as he was suffering in jail, maybe deserved, he was saying, Abba, Abba, Abba. He was calling out to me to save him. What am I supposed to do with that? Umei hamu alav. Literally, again, my kishkas, my insides were stirred by his cries. V'efshar la'av l'shmoa es tzakas b'no mimachovav v'lo yoshi'uhu. It is impossible for a father to hear the cries of his son and not do something to alleviate his suffering. It is impossible for a father to turn a deaf ear to his sons. The Rosh Hashanah is, it is impossible for a father to hear the cries of his sons from his pain and not to provide him with salvation. Absolutely impossible. So we'll say, see, you hear this mashal? Incredible. So what's the nimshal? So what's, right? So that's the story. What's the lesson? So look at the Rebbe writes. Paragraph E. V'animshal hu. Anu Yisrael b'nei melech b'tzara gedola. So we'll say, just understand the enormity of this. So the Piagetzna says, Chevra, we, Klal Yisrael, the sons of the king, we are in midst of terrible suffering. You also have to understand, I mentioned this many times, but understand, like, in the Warsaw ghetto, you know, I mentioned this before, you know, sometimes you have kids who run through shul, run around the shul. Okay, so I'll take a short commercial break here for just a second. Watch your kids. Shul is not daycare. Shul is not the place you come to give your wife a break. Shul is the home of the Ribono Shel Olam. No one would ever bring their kid to work and let their kid run through the executive meeting. You're about to seal a deal. Oh, you don't mind if I bring my kid, right? He opens up a bag of chips, pours it on the floor, steps on it, right? And then runs back and forth yelling, ha, ha, right? No one would do that. Why? Because it's important. Shul is not daycare. Shul is not babysitting. Shul is not a place for respite care. Shul is the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it has to be treated with incredible respect. And in fact, one of the most incredible pieces of chinuch that we give our children is how to act inside of shul. That's part of chinuch. So when I teach my kids, no, Shefala, I love you. We could eat snacks in the hall, not in the shul. Or a shul is a place where you walk, you don't run. Or a shul is certainly a place where you don't yell. You don't yell. And a shul is probably not a place where you come in and out, this, that. So, okay, that's the end of the commercial. With all of that, there's a beauty in hearing children run through shul. And what's the beauty? It's the sound of vitality. It's something that I remember that one of the most striking things, when we came back into the shul after COVID, the most incredible thing was to hear children in shul. Because if you remember, again, in the beginning, it wasn't like that, right? In the beginning, right, there were numbers, you can only bring this, kids were allowed, kids weren't allowed. Remember that first Shabbos when, like, you had a kid running through, like, just yelling for his father in the middle of the drasha, right, which would normally be a little bit of a source of annoyance, but yet, again, it was, like, such a beautiful and welcome sound, because it's a sign of vitality. Why did I share this with you? In the Warsaw ghetto, there were no children. There were no young children. Children were the first to be shipped off. They were the first to be killed. There were no children. So you have to understand that the Piagetzna is talking to a chevra over here. And in this chevra, everyone has lost someone. Some people have lost everyone. So you have to understand. So he says, chevra, Anu Yisrael b'nei melech b'tzara gidola. We are Klal Yisrael. We are the sons of the king. and we are experiencing terrible pain. Terrible, terrible pain. Ve'afshar mikatrigim aleinu shezos sheshavim anu ata b'chalav aveinu. So, and maybe, so now the Piaget says, so now we're doing tshuva. We're doing tshuva. We want to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And maybe in Shemaim there are some prosecuting angels that are saying, ah, it's not real tshuva. They're just doing tshuva now because of their pain. They're just trying to change because of their pain, but the change is not sincere. Just like the ministers said about the prince, that the tshuva is not real. The tshuva is not real. So maybe there are some prosecuting angels in Shemaim that are saying that are... that our tshuva is not real. Ukevar chadal echad mimasav haroim lo tov mi libenu rak mirov hatzaros. And maybe they're saying, you know what, these Yidden, these Jews, they're not doing tshuva because they're genuinely sorry. They're not doing tshuva because they want to return back to you. They're doing tshuva because they're in pain. Because they're in pain. Just like the ministers of the king said to the king, you think the prince is reformed? He's not reformed. The only reason he's saying he's sorry is because he's incarcerated and he's being beaten every single day. Take away the incarceration, take away the beating, he's going to go right back to what he was doing. So the Piaget says, maybe in Shemaim they're saying that we, the Jews of the Warsaw Ghetto, maybe we're not real Bali Tshuva. They're not real Bali Tshuva. You know why they're doing Tshuva? You know why they're crying out to you? Because they're in pain, because they need you. Look what he writes. He says, Aval Hashem, the end of paragraph, the last two lines on the page. Aval Hashem roa es livavenu shemachshavtonu loshuv be'emes. The angels can't see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to see is into the heart of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to see inside of us that at the end of the day it is our sincere desire to return to Him. That is the sincere desire of the Yid. I want to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Ribbono Shel Olam looks in my heart, he sees what is Shirabo say. Do my behaviors always reflect that I want to come closer to Hashem? Often not. Often not. See, but here's the difference between God and us. You and I, we can only judge each other based on behaviors. Because I can't see anything more than what you do. What you're thinking, what you're feeling, I have no idea. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, you can see inside of me. So you don't have to look at me just based on my actions. You could look inside of me and see what I want and see what I feel. And Piaget then says, Ribbono Shel Olam, if you look inside of me, you know what you'll find? You'll find a Yid, you'll find a Jew who really wants to return, who really wants to come back. And look what he writes. He says, V'chutz mizeh, afilu matshuva hamitis, lo me'itanu ba, v'lo shelanu hi. And maybe you're right. Maybe for some of us, the tshuva is not sincere. Maybe the tshuva is not sincere. Right? Maybe the tshuva at the end of the day is just calling out to God. Maybe what motivates my tshuva is that I'm so broken, I'm in so much pain, I'm experiencing so much difficulty, that I need a salvation. That's just like the prince. Why was the prince crying out, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. Why? Because he was in pain. Maybe we're also disingenuous like the prince. And maybe I'm calling out at the end of the day just because I'm in pain, but not stemming from any internal sincere desire to change. He says, listen to this. He says, Mikol Makom. Even so, turn to page 2. Bless you. Koli Shamata. Hashem, fine. Even if it's insincere. So listen to my voice. Hakol Merov Tzarasi Hamorim Zebevadai Shali. You know, Hashem, maybe, listen to how profound this is. Maybe my desire to return to you and do better and do differently, maybe it's not sincere. Maybe it's not sincere, but you know what is sincere? My pain. My pain is sincere. My pain is real. Maybe my desire to return to you is a shtickel disingenuous, but at the end of the day, the pain that I am experiencing is absolutely real and is absolutely palpable. He goes on, Hakol, Merov Sarosi Hamorim Ze Bevadai Shali. Vechtishma bitzari chas v'chalila lo terachim. Ribbono Shel Olam, even if you look in my heart and you say, you know what, Silber is disingenuous. He doesn't really want to change. He doesn't really want to come back. He doesn't really want to alter the way that he's living or what he's doing. He doesn't want to stop doing averus or start doing mitzvahs. Maybe I am insincere and disingenuous, but you know what's not insincere? The voice that I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. That voice that is filled with so much pain. The pain is sincere. See, even if the desire is insincere, the call, the voice, racked with pain, is so incredibly sincere. Ve'ech tishma b'tzari, V'chas v'chalilo lo terachim. And just like the king, right? The king recognizes, maybe the prince is insincere, but the king, when he hears the cries of the prince, a father has to hear the cries of his child and can't remain unmoved. Koli shamata, you have heard my voice. Lachin, al ta'alim aznecha l'rav chasi l'shavasi. So we'll say, if we just bring this together, so let's go back for just a second now. So go back to page one for just a second. So now, look at that pasuk once again. I will say, just, you're going to see this is a tremendous piece, also just about Rosh Hashanah in a general sense. So remember again, the Piyajesna gave us an interpretation. What is Koli Shamata? So you're about to say, essentially what the Piyajesna says is, there are two different ways in which you come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I could come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam with a genuine and sincere desire to change. Right? The one say, how do I come? How do I come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So you know, if we're honest with ourselves, there are different types of Rosh Hashanahs. Right? The one say, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but who has had a Rosh Hashanah in which you have been totally uninspired? Don't raise your hand. No. I'll take it for the team. Rosh Hashanahs were like nothing doing. The songs are nice, the music is nice, the tefillahs are nice. Nothing happening on the inside. It happens. And sometimes there are even years like that. Sometimes, Rahman al-Zan, there are even decades like that. So there are two experiences on Rosh Hashanah. There is the internal experience and the external experience. The internal experience is a sincere inner desire to want to affect change within myself. I'm that prince. And I'll say, how am I that prince? I have been given a life of privilege. I have been able to say, and it applies really to most of us, with all whatever adversity, whatever difficulty, whatever challenges you may have, I'll say, Baruch Hashem, if a person has his health, right? A person has parnasa. I don't mean you're wealthy, but a person has parnasa. A person has an intact family. A person has friends. You know, whatever. Even if you don't have all of those things, but you have a number of those things, that's a leg up. It's a leg up. On, you know, all you need to do is, there was last Thursday, on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, you know, we get, our attention is glued to Eretz Yisrael. Last week, Wednesday, Thursday, front page was a story out of the, I think it was out of the Congo, one of these places, Congo, of like these ridiculous and horrific stories of women who are forced to go out and forage food for their families, and they're abused by like these militias when they go out 3, 4, 5 times, and they know it's going to keep on happening, but it's either be abused and feed their children, or don't be abused. Like, there's a whole chilek of the world like that. Baruch Hashem, the UN doesn't have any time to deal with that, right? There's that they have no, that they have real humanitarian crisis, they have no time to deal with. But okay, that's different. But I would say, but like, there are whole swaths of humanity that live like that, that live in literal dire conditions day in and day out. And I will say, like, the fact that I have a life, where Baruch Hashem, like, it's great. Even the challenges, it's great. I'll take these challenges over any other set of challenges that exist in the rest of the world. I'll take it. I'm like the prince. The king has given me everything. And what happens so often in life? I go meshuga. I roll around in the mud in my monarchical robes. I engage in behaviors that I shouldn't be engaging in. I do things that I should not be doing. I have character traits that are detrimental. I have behaviors that are corrosive. I do things that just like, what? And meanwhile, the king is like, right? The angels, the ministers are like, what the heck is wrong with this guy? It's not a direct quote, but you understand. What's the matter with him? What is the matter with him? Literally, again, the king has given him everything. Oh, I don't have everything. No one has everything. You don't need everything in order to be happy. You don't. Newsflash. You don't need everything. What you need to be happy is everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. Whatever you have is what you need in order to find life happiness. And so the ministers, the angels looking down, like, what's the matter with this guy? What is the matter with this guy? So comes Rosh Hashanah. And I have to come back home. and I come to the king. I come to the king. And what happens? So now there are two ways you could approach coming back to the king. Sometimes internally I know, okay, I haven't behaved well as a prince. And so this is the year I'm going to affect change. This is the year I'm going to do things differently. This is the year I'm going to turn it around. Whatever the it is. And I use my Yamim Noram to really make a plan of action for how my life is going to be. But a plan of action means not like, you know, broad vision. Not broad vision. Broad vision plans generally get you absolutely nowhere. Small, detailed plans are the key to growth. But I'm motivated internally to do something. There's another type of way to approach to the king, which is internally, I don't know. I know that I should change, but I don't really have, like, I don't feel so motivated to do it. Right? I don't know. I don't feel, maybe I'm tired, maybe I'm lazy, maybe I'm apathetic. And I just don't feel it. Even if you can't feel it internally, Koli Shamata. Tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu what you really want. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you want out of life. But isn't that disingenuous? I'm telling him what I want, what I really want, but yet I don't really feel it on the inside. It's not called disingenuous. You know what it's called? You know what it's called? It's called being human. I always say, we are all disingenuous and we're all genuine at the same time. Just like we're honest and we're liars at the same time. We're tzaddikim and we are reshaim at the same time. This is the great mystery of the Ribono Shel Olam's greatest creation of man. I'm everything and nothing all at once. And so when I come before the king at Rosh Hashanah, sometimes I will say, if I don't feel it on the inside, it's almost as if we feel like a little hypocritical, saying, Ribono Shel Olam, I want this to be the year. Meanwhile, I'm thinking on the inside, whew, I had a good Avera run this past year. solid performance, right? Solid performance. Baruch Hashem, I hit the bucket list, right? I accomplished everything, right? Some people want to go places and some people want to do things. Baruch Hashem, I did it all, right? I did it all. I saw it all. I did it. So doesn't it feel disingenuous to say that I want something different when in my heart I don't want it? It's not disingenuous. There are two different ways to approach tshuva. And I'll both say this is so incredibly important because sometimes I'm not feeling it on the inside. And I think that if I'm not feeling it on the inside, you know, the approach often is, okay, this year, Tafshin Pei, hey, I'm not feeling it. I'm going to sit this one out. I'm going to come to shul. I will grab every single piece of reading material I can get my hands on. Right? Everything. I'm going to take off the bookshelves. If there's a New Testament around, I'll take that too. Whatever it is, you know. It's fine. Whatever it is. Something to pass the time in Chazaras Hashatz, right? I'm reading Israel newsletters from before the establishment of the State of Israel, right? I've got everything, all right? Whatever I can get. I'm going to sit this. Okay, I'm showing. I'm going to sit this one out. You don't have to sit it out. Even if you don't feel it, do you know what you do? Do you know what you do? Rosh Hashanah night, you come to you say, King, Avinu Malkeinu, Tata Fin Himmel, Ribono Shel Olam, Abba, I just want you to know that I want to change. And I know you could see in my heart that what I'm telling you with my lips is not what's happening inside of my heart. See, I feel a little bit like a faker. I feel a little bit disingenuous. I feel a little bit like that prince who, because he's getting beaten, says, oh, I'm ready to change. Hashbacho, it's okay. Because you know I'm like a faker at times, but that's all right. That's all right. We all are at different times. It says the Piaget, that's the Pshat. Koli Shamata. Sometimes, even if you look in my heart and my heart is not genuine, don't about my heart. Don't look at my heart. Listen to my words. And the words that I'm telling you is, I want you in my life. The words that I'm saying is, I want something different. And I will say, what a profound, an incredible way to pull ourselves back from the brink of the Yamim Noraim. Even if you're not feeling it, say it. Disingenuous? Yes, but that's okay. Because the call, it's not disingenuous. Because even if I'm not feeling it, Hashem, I'm telling you what I really want. What I really want is to be close to you. What I really want is to be a Baal Tshuva. What I really want is to stop doing those averos. What I really want is to change those character flaws. What I really want is to improve my life relationships. What I really want is to stop rolling around in the life mud. What I really want is to start doing the things I promised myself I'm going to do for all these past years. I want all of that. I know my behavior doesn't reflect it. Maybe even my inner desire doesn't reflect it, but I'm telling you that's what I want. And so what do we say at the beginning of Tekiah Shofar? Koli Shamata, Hashem. Sometimes I want you to look inside of my heart, because what I have on the inside is beautiful and wonderful and holy. And sometimes I don't want you to look inside my heart. Sometimes I just want you to listen to the words that I'm saying. Koli shamato. Just listen to what I'm saying. You ever have a conversation? You ever have a conversation with someone and you say something and the person says, well, what did you mean by that? Right? This may or may not happen in marriage. Right? What are you trying to say? And you ever have one of those moments where you're like, I'm not trying to say anything. I'm telling you what I'm saying. There's actually there's no hidden meaning in any of this, right? Like, there's no Frosted Flakes decoder ring that you need to figure out, what is he really trying to say? Actually, what I said is exactly Koli Shamata.
Face value.
Koli Shamata. Shavuot, what this tells us is that the avoda on Rosh Hashanah is to be able to articulate to Hashem, what do I want? What do I want? I want to come back to you. I want to come close to you. I want to affect change. I want. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes I don't want you looking inside my heart. Instead, Koli Shamata. Atalim aznecha l'rav chasi l'shav chasi. Don't close your ears. Now, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu close his ears to my call, to my voice? Well, it makes sense. Why? Because it could be that if that call looks disingenuous, maybe the Ribono Shel Olam would close his ears. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not disingenuous. I'm about to say, can I tell you something? We walk into Yamim Noraim and we set the bar so high for ourselves. We create like this, what's the right word? Like this Yamim Noraim, it's like an anxiety. It's like an anxiety that I'm supposed to go in and I'm supposed to, number one, experience this incredible tidal wave of spiritual energy. I'm supposed to be lifted up, right? And when I hear the Chazan say, HaMelech, I'm supposed to be transported into the inner sanctum of the divine throne room, and I'm supposed to feel the Ribon Shalom, and I'm supposed to feel like I'm standing in judgment. And the Arizal says, well, if you cry in Rosh Hashanah, that's the moment your Neshama is being judged, and all these different things. I'm supposed to feel it. And then we create this all this stuff, we have this expectation. Expectation, it's a lot like dating, in the current shidduch system. One of the greatest problems in the current is that young people. I like saying young people now, right? Well, those young people, young people, they go on a date and they go on one date and they're expecting to feel fireworks. Fireworks. We spent a total of 3 hours. Part of it was in awkward silence, right? The rest of it is in a hotel lobby, right? Many times never having spoken to someone of the opposite gender for a prolonged, who wasn't related to you, right? Up until then. And you go in and there's this expectation. Whenever you set realistic expectations, you could be assured of one thing, which is disappointment. Disappointment. So I will say, sometimes we come to Yamim Noraim and we set these incredible expectations. So the Piyajetna says, reform the expectations. What is my goal of Yamim Noraim? My goal of Yamim Noraim is to speak to Hashem. I have an opportunity to go ahead and present my life plan for 5785 to the Ribono Shel Olam. Here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to change. Now, if you're on a level where you have genuine, internal genuine kite, right? So you feel what you're saying on the inside, then fantastic. But even if you don't have that internal genuinity, it's a word, right? that internal, Nehemi, you're an accountant. Don't you tell me English over here. Right? So genuinity, I'm going to keep saying it until you can't forget it. So even if you don't have that internal genuinity, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Talk to the Ribono Shel Olam. And let's say, Yamim Noraim is a beautiful, simcha-filled experience. It's joyous. It's magnificent. It's the best thing in the world. Is there judgment? Yeah, there's judgment. And judgment absolutely is scary. But as Rabbi Akiva says, Ashreichem Yisrael, who are you being judged by? I'm being judged by the Ribono Shel Olam. I'm being judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who loves me. So yeah, judgment is difficult. But I'm being judged by Abba. I'm being judged by the Melech. And what is the King judging me based on? What does he want to see? He says, what's your plan for the coming year? What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to be? If you could be genuine internally, fantastic. But even if not, kol yishamata. Just hear my words. And even if my life plan doesn't reflect that which is happening inside of me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm still asking you, take me at my words. Don't look on the inside. I'm also amazing enough, I'll just take one more minute. This, the Piaget also highlights the same idea. If you turn to page 3, so the Rebbe says something so beautiful. He says, this is the Pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu says something so beautiful. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu, by paragraph A on page 3. Pasuk from this week's parasha. Hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu. So literally, again, that which is hidden belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'haniglos lanu ulevaneinu adalam. And that which is revealed belongs to us and to our children for all eternity. La'asos es kol divrei ha-Torah hazos. Ultimately, again, to perform the entirety of Torah. So I will say, on a pshat, on a basic level, what is Moshe Rabbeinu saying? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I will say, you know, we spend so much time trying to figure out why God does things. Right? And great questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? Why do people die young? All these different things, which are all great questions. And I will say, but again, you're certainly allowed to ask, but it's a little bit of an exercise in futility because you're not going to get the answer. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, leave the hidden stuff to God. Just leave that to God. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu deal with that. V'haniglos, there's so many things to deal with on the level of the revealed. Right? So many things in actuality, in the world of action, that we could do, that we could take care of. But the Piaget, Rabbi Moshe, says something so beautiful. He says, Hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu. Only the Ribono Shel Olam knows what is deeply embedded inside of me. Hanistaros. There's a piece of me that everyone sees, right? There's the external me. Everyone sees that, everyone knows that, and then there's internal me. So often when we speak about this, we often talk about like in a negative, right? Meaning, external me is very good at projecting an image of piety, and then internal me could be severely broken. So Piaget doesn't understand that way. He says, external me often looks flawed. Internal me is filled with so much beautiful holiness, so much profundity. So when we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah, we're asking for one of two things. If we feel that we're rightly aligned with our heart, that even though my actions are not where they need to be, but my heart is, my soul is, I know, I have a burning fire of Kiddusha inside of me that wants to do the right thing, that wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know the changes I need to make. I know the adjustments I need to make. I know the pivots I need to make. I know what I need to start doing, I know what I need to stop doing. My heart is where it needs to be. In that case, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu. You look inside of me. Don't look at my actions. Don't look at what I did, but look at who I am. And who am I? That's inside of me. Look inside. But sometimes I don't have my insides worked out. Sometimes the insides are in a state of disrepair. The actions are in a state of disrepair. Sometimes everything is just like a shtickle broken. It's a little bit broken. What do you do in those moments? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't look on the outside. Don't look on the inside. So what should you do? Kol yishamata. Listen to what I'm saying to you. And what I'm saying to you is, I want to be someone different. And I want to articulate to you what I'm sorry for, what I've done wrong, and the life I want to live. Two different levels of how we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. If the inside is worked out, look at who I really want to be. Insides aren't worked out, don't look at my actions, don't look at my inside. Listen to what I want. Be able to articulate a life mission. Kol yishamata. I'm telling you who I want to be. Don't close your ears. And I'm both saying, we need to prepare for Rosh Hashanah. We need to prepare for the Yom HaDin. We need to prepare. And one of the things that's most important for us to prepare is to begin to write our life plan. You can't ask for a year of new life, another year of life, unless you have it worked out what you're going to do with it. It's like going to your parents and asking for more money. You got your allowance already. You need more money? This was, again, when I was a kid, before everybody had a credit card, right? So you have to go to your parents, you need more money. So again, you got money. If you need more money, so what do your parents say to you? Or at least, what should your parents say to you? What do you need it for? Right? What is it? So I come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I got my allowance. Rabbi Yossi, I got my allowance. I asked for a year of life. I asked for a year of life. Rabbi Yossi, we all asked. So last year this time, we asked Zachrinu L'chaim, Melech Chafetz Chaim. We asked for life. And guess what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us what we asked for, which is such a bracha. We asked for life and he gave us life. Incredible. And I will say, you know what's incredible? If somebody would have asked you last Rosh Hashanah, what is the most important thing that you're asking for Hashem for now? What's the most important thing? What would you have answered? Life. So what ends up happening, like most things in life, is you move the goalposts, right?
Good life.
So then now I want life, but also parnasa, right? Obviously, I need parnasa. Also health, also shalom bayis, right? Also good career. Also. This is always how you get a bracha in life, and then you move the goalposts. But like in that moment of Rosh Hashanah, if someone were to ask you, what's the one thing you need more than anything? I just need life. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that bracha, and then some. So now we're getting geared up to ask for more money, for more life. Okay. So Abba says, great, I have it, and I'm ready to give it to you. Tell me why you want it. Tell me what you want to do with it. So let's say, too often we show up to Rosh Hashanah, and we think the avoda is opening up the machzor. As long as I open up the machzor, I davened, I didn't even go out so many times, right? I didn't space out on davening. I fulfill my obligation. Of course, on a behavioral level, that is true. But the real avoda of Rosh Hashanah is, can you make a compelling argument to HaKadosh Baruch Hu why you want another year of life? Right? If it's because I already bought my season's tickets, you know, Rosh Hashanah says, okay, sorry, big man in tight pants is not the reason, you know, jumping on each other is not going to be a reason to go ahead and give you another year of life, right? Or putting on jerseys or do this. Those are all nice things that we do. But what do you want? What do you want another year of life for? And I will say, we have to go in and you should write it out. Write it out before Yantiv. Keep it in your machzer. And over the course of the Yamim Noran, to be able to ask, Ribono Shel Olam, Kol Shamata, I want to tell you, remember, here's what I want to do. Here is the 5785 Shmuel Silber Life Plan. You do your own. But Shmuel Silber Life Plan, right? Here it is. Here's what I want to do. Here's the list of things I want to change. Here's the list of things I want to stop doing. I want to start doing. Here's what I want to become as a person. Here are my goals for the year. I was saying, we have to come into Rosh Hashanah not just asking for life, but asking for life because. Because if you give it to me, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm ready to do something spectacular with it. We experienced the year where many of our brothers and sisters were not given the bracha of life this year. Or they weren't given the full bracha of life this year. And I will say, if we were, it means that it behooves us to do something dramatic, meaningful, and holy with it. This is our sacred task. This Rosh Hashanah is not like a regular Yom Noran. These Yom, we're living in different times. We're still living in different times. We thought these times would be back to normal. We're living in different times. And we have to enter into this Yom Noran b'simcha, so joyous, so excited to come before the King, confident that Ribono Shel Olam is going to inscribe us and seal us in the Book of Life, but prepared with why we're asking for a new year of life and what we plan on doing with it. We should be zocheh mi'atz Hashem to be able to work ourselves through so that we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if my actions are not in the right place, at least my heart should be there. If my heart's not there, I should have the speech, the words, kol lishamata, the words organized. But most of I should walk in Rosh Hashanah night with that plan in hand. Take it, fold it, put a copy in your machzeh, and every single time you come to a petitional request for life, just take a look and remind yourself what you're going to do with this bracha of life. And in that tzichus of not just pleading for life, but telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu what we're going to do with this new year, we, all of us, Emir HaSashem, this holy Helig Chevra, should be zochah to be inscribed in the Sefer HaChaim, together with our families, together with our community, together with all of Klal Yisrael. We should just be zochah. You know, we go into these Yamim Noraim, I always say, you know, you go into Yamim Noraim with like a sense of renewal. But I think we go into these Yom Noraim still with a sense of renewal, but also with a profound sense, I think, at least I feel, of fatigue and of sadness over what has befallen our beautiful nation over the course of this year. And that the Geula that we hoped for did not yet come. But anything could happen, and anything could happen at any time. And maybe all that Kaddish Baruch Hu is waiting for is just for us to push ourselves just a little bit more. Geula is so close. Mashiach is so close. The redemption of our captives is so close. The return of our soldiers is so, everything we want out of life is so close. We just need to push a little harder. Work a little bit more. Create that plan. And who is telling? Who knows what could occur? Shabbi Zocha Amir Hashem. We are Zocha. To close out this year with our Rebbe. We should be Zocha Amir Hashem that come Tafshin Pei Hei. Come 5785. Mashiach will come. Tchias HaMesim will come. And amazing how incredible it will be to have a shir about the Piyajatzna with the Piyajatzna. Imagine when the Rebbe sits at the head of the table giving the shir, teaching us his svarim. And imagine again, we'll be here with past generations. Rebbe Levi Yitzchak will stop in. The Baal Shem Tov will stop in. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to hear about the schnitzel. He's going to stop in. And it's going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. And that day is closer than we think. And we just be Zocha to work a little bit harder and bring it to fruition. M'hei Rabbi Amenu.
The Ari? How about the Ari?
The Ari?
Yeah, what about him? Him too?
Him too, of course, everyone, everyone.
You forgot
if anybody wants this, we'll do Myriv in the main show.
Oh,
sure.